It's 10:35 Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
Everything you need to survive for 2 weeks out in the woods.
It even has an Ernest Borgnine hologram.
Relevant. I'll tell you what's relevant.
It's a summon, Marconi from the ether.
Go!
Good morning, peoples of Canada, and bonjour, Newfoundland. Guten Tag in Iceland. Je m'appelle Paul Moth. This week on the Great Eastern, out and about in St. John's, a trek up Mount Sio to see the past become the future, a rare invite to the exclusive Javelin Crescent Enclave, an excursion or two on a ship simulator, and a spin in orbit round the Earth on a communication satellite. All this for you on Newfoundland's cultural magazine, The Great Eastern. Just after Wednesday's 6 a.m. station sign-on, the BCN's stalwart signal was interrupted for 18 minutes. Though the dead air distressed few ears, word does get around in this town. And since this was the first interruption of service in 60 proud years of the BCN, rumors quickly began to circulate about a CRTC suspension, cutbacks to our operating grant, and other such dark possibilities. Unfortunately, the answer to the mystery, more simple than that, lies within my own head. The historic coal-fired transmission tower of the BCN has entered its final days. Decommissioning and demolition of that elegant Art Deco steel beam and cable tracery will commence immediately upon erection of our new, highly efficient, yet somehow artless communications array. Last Wednesday morning, I decided to pay homage to the passing of an era in Newfoundland broadcasting by making a dawn visit to the transmitter station that overlooks the city.
There'll be 9 bucks.
What's the problem? Can't you take me all the way up to the tower?
I'm not taking the car up there. Smoke from the generator will take the paint right off her.
Oh, I'll keep the change.
Thanks a lot.
From here, you can just make out the top of the giant rabbit ears, the old BCN broadcast tower. But there's evidence of coal-powered radio all around. Yeah, the woods in here are cloaked in heavy soot, and the air is acrid. And listen. Just listen. That deep rumbling is water from Les Bottom Pond coming through the big pipe, heading to the steam engines. Let's hurry. They're about to start broadcasting. There it is. My God, it's beautiful. And there, look, the stokers, the men at the very heart of the BCN, the big men from Belle Island who feed the insatiable furnace with the coal that creates the steam that spins the turbine that becomes the electricity that is the very radio waves you are now listening to. Hey! Good stokers! Alas, irony of ironies, these great men of radio cannot hear me. Years of working cheek to jowl with the mighty generator have left them stone deaf.
Coal! Coal! Up here! Get us to the tower!
And there he is, BCN's grand old man of the long waves, Ari Oldmanis. Coming up, Ari! What a morning, Ari.
Every morning is what a morning, Paul Moss.
These must be sad days for you, though.
Well, as Mr. Lundgren says, they must move with the times.
What will you do when the tower is finally demolished?
I am old. For years, you know, I was planning on going back to Latvia, but now, this death so close. Yeah, perhaps I will live out my last years in bitter loneliness here in the wonderful city of legends.
God, Harry, I don't know that I...
Let's not be blue today, Paul Moss, host of the Great Eastern. Let us celebrate radio broadcasting. Let us summon Marconi from the ether. Come on, Paul, follow me. Up the tower!
Harry, old Manus, I'm right behind you. God, Harry,
Siberia. It's so much higher than I imagined.
You can almost see Riga from here.
Look, someone driving up to the tower in the BCN van.
Yes, there's a watchdog, Erling Biggs. He comes in for sign-on every morning.
I never knew that. He looks so small from up here.
Yes.
He looks like a bug.
The Erling bird catches the worm, Paul. It begins. The electricity. Come to me.
Hurry, Erling!
Stalkers, clear the pulse. Erling throws the switch and races to his microphone.
3, 2, 1.
On air! Feel the radio waves.
My head! It's stuck!
What? Do you have something metal in your head?
There's a metal plate in my head.
Your skull has become magnetized, Paul.
Help me, Ari.
We'll have to stop the broadcasting.
Please, Ari.
I'll be back. Hold on tight. The wave warping when we power down will throw you from the tower.
Throw me from the tower?
Hold on, Paul, or you will be killed.
Ari. Ari. Come back. Don't leave me, Ari.
There. That should put the rumors to rest and explain what people around town are calling the 18-minute gap. I admit my role in, and I guess ultimately my responsibility for, this venerable station's first ever lacuna in service. I was shaken by the electrifying experience, but thankfully I did not receive any serious injuries. I'm obliged to BCN Director of Engineering, Ari Oldmanis, for showing me the inner workings of radio transmission and for administering first aid. I also state that I do not blame him in any way for what transpired up there on the tower last Wednesday. Accidents happen. From Finland, this is Vartina with Katrina. Popular author and literary critic Kathleen Hanrahan has kindly invited us to her marvelous estate here on Javelin Crescent for an outdoorsy installment of Wordworks, our look at literary happenings in Newfoundland. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello, Paul. Can I offer you a splash of lemonade?
Oh, that would be great. Now, you certainly have quite the lovely garden here.
Why, thank you, Paul. It's a Peter Blake creation. I heard he gave you some garden makeover guidance. How's it going?
Well, I'm putting in a good hour a week. It's a lovely lemonade. Now, what al fresco books have you harvested from the summer crop of publications, Kathleen?
Two new Newfoundland guidebooks.
Excellent. I'm heading out right after the show for a day in the country with Rhonda, and I'm wide open for suggestions.
Oh, I bet you are. A perfect starting place would be this super new hiking manual. Lost Trails of the Avalon is from environmentalist Marjorie Malone.
Oh, it looks more like a backpack.
Comes with its own survival kit.
Oh, wow.
Everything you need to survive for 2 weeks out in the woods. Plastic-coated maps, a compass, space blanket, a flare launcher, and a locator beacon.
Oh, can I see that?
You really should only activate that in an emergency, Paul.
Oh, right, okay.
It has an inflatable canoe.
No life jacket?
The manual is a flotation device.
How does that work?
The bookmark is the ripcord.
Oh, it really comes up at you, doesn't it? That's ingenious. Now, you've actually checked out some of these trails too, haven't you?
Yes, Paul. Yesterday, I strapped on the old boots, the woolen knee socks, the khaki shorts, and I reconnoitered three of the trails.
What kind of boot do you prefer, Kathleen? A high top or an ankle cut?
Anything with a good gripping sole, Paul. Each and every one of these treks left me breathless.
Your favorite?
Oh, I'd recommend them all. But if I had to pick one, I guess it would be the old covert path out by Murrow's Pond Provincial Park.
Oh, yes, the old secret road built by the Yanks for, experiments in biological peacemaking.
That's the one. The facility was packed up and the site abandoned, oh, good 20 years ago. But, Paul, let me tell you what a lovely spot it is.
I think of Murrow's Pond really as a pretty desolate place.
Actually, Paul, it has some of the luscious forest I've seen on this island. And at the end of an overgrown road, the eerie ruins of the testing station, giving your hike just a hint of mystery.
Oh, great. We'll definitely try that one.
Lost Trails of the Avalon by Marjorie Malone. A summer must for the adventurous type. It's CSA approved, and the whole shebang can be had for a reasonable $129 from the new guidebook wing of Litton Industries.
Great. Now, what else have you got?
Oh, another marvelous vacation possibility. Kay's paintings of Newfoundland and Labrador.
Well, they truly are spectacular.
This book has been lovingly put together by spelunker Gerald Carter. He was the one who made the Boggy Cove Cave discovery in 1985, and it comes with beautiful plates.
Yes, these are the famous photos that destroyed the paintings.
Well, Jerry really had no way of knowing that the flesh would, well, erase the fragile charcoal images. But at least he captured them for posterity.
You know, I've often wondered why more attention hasn't been paid to the Boggy Cove Cave paintings and the serious questions they raise about human evolution on Earth.
Oh, they're open to many interpretations. Some say the woolly mammoth depicted is pulling something that looks like, well, an awful lot like an automobile.
Well, first of all, Kathleen, the mammoth is not pulling anything. It's the mammoth being pulled.
Oh.
And secondly, it's not a car. It's a spaceship.
A spaceship?
Yeah, this is a tractor beam, see? They're harvesting the mammoth. The aliens used them for food.
Well, okay.
That explains the extinction of the woolly mammoth. Now, does this edition contain the recent discoveries made during drilling at Voisey Bay?
No, it went to press too early for that.
I understand these new drawings are quite loose.
Yes, same-sex pictographs and more mammoth action. That's Kay's Paintings of Newfoundland and Labrador by Gerald Carter from the University of Newfoundland at St. John's Press, and it retails for $39.95.
They're beautiful caves, everybody, but listeners, if you're going exploring, please, please take an experienced cave guide along with you. I wouldn't want anyone reliving my nightmare of being trapped deep in a subterranean maze for 3 days. Well, Kathleen, always a pleasure to visit you here. And thanks for these two fabulous books for the Newfoundland Adventurer. I'll put them to the test next week and we can compare notes.
Great, Paul. See you then.
The Great Eastern. Great radio. Coast to coast in Newfoundland. On the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN. 520 on the long wave.
Bouffon today. Poof tomorrow. Bob's your uncle when University of the Air presents Professor Roxanne Hunter's History of Hair. Close argument? Hair splitting indeed. Madame Pompadour, G.I. Joe, Beaver Cleaver, Grace Jones, Vidal Sassoon, her suit, his suit, it doesn't matter. Put a crimp in your day with the coiffure of tonsorial history, Roxanne Hunter. It's a beehive of activity when University of the Air becomes University of the Hair. Wednesday at 11 a.m., only on BCN 520.
Third
third big week for the BCN on the Big Brother broadcaster, and the response to the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest has been staggering. At least the post person has been staggering. We have gotten bales of mail. So much, in fact, that Director of Radio Ish Lundrigan has authorized me to draw 2 entries this week. But before we go any farther, Hollis Duffett, let's hear what all that noise from Newfoundland is about.
Soy el Capitán Gongilegan, el skipper también, el millonario, su esposa, la estrella del cine, Ginger, el profesor y Ana María. ¡La gran puta! ¡Ya basta, maricones! ¡Estoy pescando en aguas internacionales!
And let's go down to that huge bag here and pull out an entry. And this one is from Bill Singleton in his nation's capital, Ottawa, Ontario, and Bill types, greetings, G. Eastern, Ray the Noise from Newfoundland. I could tell immediately that was not Picasso in his debate with Salvador Dali. Picasso spoke with an entirely different accent from that. What an erudite audience we have. He continues, my entry in the contest is, that is a recording of the captain of the Estai, spelling, yeah, he got that right, Bill, of the Estai, calling his head office to let them know that his boat had been seized by Brian Tobin. If I win, and if you're giving away t-shirts, mine is extra large. Thanks, and regards from the mainland. Well, Bill, we do sell t-shirts, $20 a pop, postage and handling extra, but we only give t-shirts to winners. And I don't think that, well, we'll check with a quizmaster and engineer, Hollis Duffett, and, you are a winner. Well, I must say I'm a little surprised that Hollis accepted that response. We were looking for a captain of the Stye, claims he is fishing in international waters. As if. Bill Singleton of Ottawa, Ontario wins, and a Great Eastern t-shirt will soon be in the royal mails to him. And when we have a winner in the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest, it can mean only one thing. It's time for a new noise. Get your pens and pencils ready. I'll give you our contest address right after you hear the new noise from Newfoundland. Hollis? Well, that may seem very obvious, but we want to know not only what that sound is, but where it can be heard. If you think you know what and from where that noise from Newfoundland is, write us at the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest, the Great Eastern, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. And because the noise is so new to everybody, let's hear it one more time. We have a very special treat for you now. One of the musical highlights from our stint on the national airwaves last year was the performance by the Hines brothers. Well, listen up. The Hineses are currently in the studio putting the finishing touches on their debut album. Secrecy surrounds this project, but Great Eastern spies have infiltrated the secluded recording studio at the Benevolent Irish Society on Queen's Road in St. John's and brought back to us this rough, off-the-floor mix of the Hines brothers. The name of the purloined piece? Something Going On.
You walk right by and look right to me. I'm sure there's times that you don't know. You gotta be so tough. You gotta put on your suit of armor. Just tell me what you want and what you need. There's something going on around here.
Good afternoon, I'm Rita Malloy with the BCN Afternoon Schedule. Coming up at 11:30 on Look It's, Look, It's Extinct. Join host Pander Parabrame as he heads to the Northern Peninsula with biologist Heather Peat to witness the final moments in the life of the last Newfoundland pine marten. At 12:30, stay tuned for Jock and Jill. Today, BCN's Man in the Corners, Yubi Hendrix, looks at the theoretical conundrum that has shaken amateur baseball in Newfoundland. What's foul is fair after second baseman and mathematical trickster Dapper Donnelly successfully posits the curved universe to umpire Bert Byrne. At 2 o'clock, why not gather round the radio with the kids as the three wise guys take to the airwaves again? This afternoon, Goldie and Murray find themselves in a pickle when Frank's Romanian mail-order bride turns out to be a vampire, big with child. Then at 4, Medicine Chest has an update on the Oris Cassiitis epidemic. A panel of experts discusses the latest theories on its spread and debates the merits of quarantining the island with Dr. Bob Zimmerman of the Center for Disease Control in Hibbing. At 5 o'clock, it's the BCN 5 o'clock news with me, Rita Malloy. A full afternoon of information and entertainment only on BCN 520, All Newfoundland Radio.
After many years of trying to lure him into our studios, we have finally succeeded. I welcome to the Great Eastern performance and conceptual artist, Ned Brocklehurst.
Paul.
Now, do I have that right, Ned? Performance and conceptual artist?
Well, I prefer the term experientialist.
There are so many things we could talk about, Ned, but I guess the best place to start would be with the announcement that you have received the prestigious, and at $2 million, the bountiful Rideout Foundation grant, also known as the Newfoundland Genius Award. Congratulations on being only the third recipient in, 23 years?
24 years.
Was it given for something in particular?
Well, it was for a body of work, you know, but the official press release mentioned my work in unusual medium.
Well, could you tell us a little about that?
Sure. I started out as a sculptor, but I soon found that I couldn't really find expression in stone. You know, I felt that hacking at the rock was a violation of a more natural, pure art. That led to my work in sculptural liberation, also called sculptural inversion. Using concrete, I returned previous sculptures back to the earth, back to their natural state.
Right. Encasing Henry Moore's reclining figure in cement, that certainly ruffled a few feathers in the arts establishment.
Yeah, criticized as being anti-sculptural. But I reject that interpretation as simple-minded. I'll take on anyone.
You were intercepted at the Milan airport on your way to...
Yeah, I was going to do David in Venice.
Yeah.
That would have been my ultimate expression of purpose.
Bags of lime were found in your lunch.
Yeah. I still can't enter Italy, which, you know, keeps me from the Biennale. They're scared of me.
You know, the critics in head, they only respect you if they fear you. Now, from sculptural liberation, you moved on...
After sculptural liberation, I moved on to auto-cannibalism.
Yes, I saw you eat one of your own fingers last year at the Gallery Boron. Me Eat Me, that was a powerful work. But I guess this form is subjected to some limitations in terms of raw materials.
Yeah. I also did some work wrapping huge structures in Bryn, Bishop Field College, the Big Six building, but, you know, it's become kind of passe.
Trite, even. Do you resent Christo's blatant ripoff?
I do, Paul. Very much.
Your latest experiential work, it's possibly your most famous.
Yeah, I was elected to office here in Newfoundland, and I served as the Minister of Tourism for a term.
That was a major work. 3 years of wit, dramatic tension, pathos, stinging social commentary, and really lots of belly laughs, too. Extremely complex, yet accessible.
Well, your view is more generous than the Premier's.
Oh, not an art lover?
A Philistine, an ultra-crepidarian, and a big sook.
So now you've got the big prize, and you've got the critical acclaim, and of course the public loves you. What next?
I'm going to have my cerebral cortex removed. I'll live the rest of my life in a vegetative state. Well, and, yeah, I think that's the natural place for my work to go now.
Ned Brocklehurst, experientialist. I know I speak for all of Newfoundland when I say I'm looking forward to it.
She's like the swallow that flies so high. She's like the river that never runs dry. She's like the sunshine on the seashore. I love my love, and love is no.
That's Melanie Doan from Nova Scotia with the Newfoundland folk song, She's Like the Swallow.
This week, join me, Jerome Granger, as Wearing the Wire goes overseas and inside Prince Edward Island to discover the lost erotic writings of Lucy Maud Montgomery.
What? Are you denying these body-moddy stories exist?
I deny nothing. Hey, Anne grew up. She moved to the prairies. You know what those people are like out there.
Come on. What's the sinister connection between these steamy volumes and the fixed link? What are you people hiding?
Listen, people might be frightened of you in Newfoundland, Granger. But you're in Prince Edward Island now.
You don't scare me, punk.
No, but Joe Giswell. He's freelance now. What? No connections to our operation whatsoever. So watch your back, Mr. Journalism School. Gizzy will show you a few things that aren't on the curriculum. Diane, send in Rory and Kirk. I think we've got a hidden microphone here, and I think I know just where to look for it.
Hey, you can't drive me like that.
Behind the Green Gables, a special Wearing the Wire with me, Jerome Granger, Thursday, 9 p.m., exclusive to BCN.
The 500 channel universe, Death Stars, the specter of an information appliance. It's the brave new world of media, and we've paid scant attention to these issues on the Great Eastern in the past. As a consequence, we introduce our new media discussion group. Listeners will already know Ish Lundrigan, director of radio here at the BCN. Also with me is Kellyanne Kelland, professor of media studies at the Center for Post-Diluvian Research and author of Clicker, The Media is the Media.
Hello.
And joining us by airphone from his jet somewhere above the snowy peaks of Aspen, it's pretty exciting, is communications magnate, founder and owner of St. John's Towny TV, Aaron Zagner.
Hello, Newfoundland.
And Canada, Mr. Zagner.
Please, Paul, call me Aaron.
Well, let's start at home. What is the future of public broadcasting in Newfoundland? Is an institution like the BCN any longer relevant? Aaron Zagner?
Short answer, Paul, no. Perhaps with enthusiastic downsizing and a reassessment of the mandate, it could survive as a sort of an educational service, the kind of thing they're looking at for the CBC. But the BCN, as it exists, it's an idea whose time has passed.
Well, Zagner can't answer that question, Paul. He's in competition with BCN for the audience.
Oh, it's hardly a competition, Ish.
Kellyanne?
Well, the BCN is irrelevant in terms of contemporary media. That's precisely why it's so important.
Figure that out now.
So you're saying that a show like this one is, I don't know.
It's useless.
Yes, but it's like an antique or a relic. It's a retro signifier of archaic media. That's where its value lies.
It's a dinosaur.
I think the BCN is charming, Cole.
Oh, thank you.
It's so far behind that it just sits there uncontested. And every so often we stumble upon it by accident and we take nostalgic pleasure in it.
The BCN is a nation builder. A bulwark against the Canadian monoculture, a vital link with our past.
It is our past.
Mr. Zagner's right, but the past is present. Look at literature.
Yeah, well, people still read books, after all.
That's right. And if you think about it, radio is just a long, slow book.
And alas, the word is dead.
Well, if the word is dead, then the following few ghosts shouldn't upset you too much. Moron, traitor, yum-yuck.
Ish, those are the protestations of a media Luddite, a Newfoundland civil servant using the public airwaves to prop up his own moribund sinecure. Why not bring back the horse and buggy, Ish, or the Victrola?
It's a generational thing.
Well, what do you mean by that, Kellyanne?
I mean, you've got to imagine the universe as seen by the young, the generation that were weaned on TV.
Kellyanne's right. Not only are these young people television literate, but their physiological ability to process images is greater, much more sophisticated than that of their parents. They read much more from pictures than you ever could, Ish.
Why don't you drop the word read from your vocabulary? And let me tell you, I understand perfectly what television says to me. It says, these are my tits, this is my arse, a new car!
Maybe that's what you get out of it, Mr. Lundrigan. But I think young people give that same TNA a deeper level of meaning.
What?
What I mean is, images mean everything and nothing at the same time.
Now that's profound.
No, but it's true. For your generation, meanings were fixed. This meant this, that meant that.
Oh, whereas now, this means that, and that means this, I suppose.
Yes, or vice versa. But older people feel uncomfortable with that. They cling to antiquated forms of media where meanings seem more stable.
Yes, Ish. Let's compare the demographic profile of a Great Eastern listener to the audience for our Towny TV cultural magazine, Gettin' It, seen via satellite every Saturday at 9 p.m. I'll bet the average Towny TV watcher is at least 20 years younger than the...
Yes, I wouldn't mind comparing those numbers myself.
Numbers games, nonsense. Besides, what's the point of constantly trying to grab the young audience when they'll just get old? And having these demographers or whatever they are been harping on about an aging society, buy some more soap.
Oh, sour grapes. I try to stay in touch with young people.
No, hold the jet phone, Poppy.
Ishi, try to be more comfortable with yourself.
Pete, you I'm not comfortable with. You give me secondary embarrassment. What with that leather jacket and your ponytail? At your age.
You're trying to change the subject, Ish, which I believe was the relevance of the BCN.
Relevance? I'll tell you what's relevant. You want to go trouting? You tune in to 520 and weather watchdog Erling Biggs.
Well, and the modern trouting man using his cell phone and his portable laptop computer can patch right into our 24-hour weather database, complete with satellite blow-up.
Yeah, at $5 a pop, just call 1-900-DO-ZAGNER. 500 channels, death stars, death rays.
And is that a death rattle I hear from you at the BCN?
Sure, let's all buy Aaron Zagner another Lear jet, and then we all go trouting in a microwave oven.
Well, obviously, we're not going to get to the bottom of these issues in one session, so I look forward to having you all back again soon for another kick at the satellite.
By the way, Paul, I'm going to be in St. John's briefly next week, and I think that we should talk.
Oh, really? About what?
The future, Mr. Moth. The future.
Well, I look forward to it. Ish Lundrigan, Kellyanne Kelland, and Aaron Zagner, thank you all so much for your commentary.
Thank you,
True
Paul.
True pleasure, Paul.
Black Duck Brooks' own Emile Benoit now with Le Reel de la Pistole.
Serving the island for over 60 years, BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
I join our friendly Prometheus watcher, Blaine Hart, for another technology report. And today, Blaine has organized a field trip to the Marine Simulation Unit here at the Kubota Institute for Ocean Sciences in St. John's. Hello, Blaine.
Hi, Paul. Great to be here. Now, we're in for a real treat today. This facility, well, it's the top of its class in the world. It cost over $20 million.
Ouch!
But it's been up and running now for 5 years and with great success.
This is a training facility for ship's officers, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. We're here now standing on a basic ship's bridge, and beneath us is a hydraulic assembly that responds to the simulator's controls. Now, the windows of the bridge are wraparound video screens, really. They'll show us the view of whatever simulated environment we select from the computers. Now, everything from the high seas might come up to the major harbors and channels of the world. They'll be right in front of us.
So we'll be virtually at sea. Okay, we get the motion, we get the view. Do we get sound?
Oh, yeah, pretty reasonable sound.
All right, well, let me at it.
Just dial up any one of 2,000 ships, past and present, and match that ship to one of an almost infinite number of maritime scenarios.
Scenario? Is that a word, Blaine?
At that point, the simulator goes into action and turns the helm over to you, Captain Moth.
Aye, aye, matey boy. Okay, I'm ready. Let's see. Well, let's begin at the beginning, shall we?
You're the captain. You choose.
Okay, number one, the Ark. No, I don't want to get into that. Minnow. Number 217, the Matthew. I'll take that one. And scenarios. Well, scenario 33, arrival in New World. That's good.
Got your sea legs?
Yeah, you bet.
Anchors away. And John Cabot's trusty caravel. How about that, eh?
God, it's amazing. It's a dinky little thing, isn't it?
Land ho!
Wow, Blaine, the new world. Well, that's definitely not St. John's. It's Bonavista, I'd say.
Could be Nova Scotia.
Oh, give it off with that Nova Scotia nonsense. Cabot landed in Newfoundland. This simulated action is quite convincing. Jesus! Hoist the mainsails! Break some treaties! We'll be back, and you'll be sorry! Blaine, let's get out of here. I can't bear the gills. What other options are there?
The Poseidon Adventure.
Can this thing actually do 180s?
Oh, yeah, sure can. It even has an Ernest Borgnine hologram.
That must chew up the memory. Got anything tropical?
Bounty.
Well, as long as it's pre-mutiny.
And there you go. Look at that, Paul. The traditional welcoming party.
Look at all those breadfruit. You gotta give me some of that action, Blaine.
I'm Christian. You're Bly, remember?
Forget about that. Over here! Ah, beautiful, plump, ripe breadfruit. What? Oh, must you always spoil the moment, Blaine? I was just getting to know. Well, wait a minute. This is quite the vessel, man. It's enormous.
A little surprise for you, Paul. Wow. You recognize this? A giant nautical machine? This a double paddle-wheeled steamer?
It's Great Eastern.
Indeed it is, and you're taking her into New York Harbor, my friend. Now, be careful.
Well, I may not know all the rules of the road here, Blaine, but I wouldn't be playing chicken with the likes of this big baby if I were in that yacht. They're trying to tell us something. What's with the hands?
I think that's international sign language, Bob.
Oh, I see. Well, in that case, eat my wake, yacht club snubbos. Let's pull this baby hard to starboard.
I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Hard to port. Over they go. Oh, no. Swim for your life, Rockefeller. This is great. New York, you Nork. I want to be a part of it. Look, the Brooklyn Bridge. Lady Liberty, wave on.
Paul, maybe this is time to consult some charts.
Get those things out of my way, Blaine. I can take this baby in blindfolded. I've been doing it for years.
What's the show? Paul, watch out. Look.
Where's reverse? Hard astern ports. Cut the engines. Hoist something.
You better give me the wheel, Paul.
I'm the captain of this ship, Blaine, and I'll get us out of this if it's the last thing I do. Go!
Well, we're listing badly now, but I think we're going
we're
down.
We're doomed! Drop the lifeboats! Quick, get me some women's clothing. Tilt.
Game over for now.
Well, that was great fun, nonetheless. Geez. Well, Blaine, thanks for showing us the marine simulation unit here at the Kubota Institute for Ocean Sciences. It's been a real treat.
My pleasure.
Blaine Hart is editor of Healthy Bites, an independent computer and technology zine published here in St. John's, and it's available on the internet at alt.bytes.this.
See you again, Paul.
Do you think I could try one more before we go? I mean,
sure.
How about the Exxon Valdez? Give me the helm and mix me a drink, and I'll turn this baby around.
I'm gonna
From Cape Breton Island, the Barrow McNeils, and Pigarua. Signs, symbols, omens, portents, everything means something. But it also means something else. Think of the contrast between BCN's coal-fired tower and the new, more efficient one. The old tower meant work for the members of the coal-fired transmitter stokers union, a dodgy broadcast signal perhaps, but solid employment for people. Our new tower dramatically improves your reception, but at what cost? A saving to us, but what about the taxpayer of Newfoundland who will now have three or four more families on the dole? Is Aaron Zagner right? Is the BCN archaic and expendable? Will it be left on the ash heap of history? How soon we have forgotten that by day 6 of Blackout 94, the biggest winter storm in a century, the coal-fired transmitter of the BCN triumphed, the solitary voice in the darkness into which Newfoundland was plunged. Granted, it's the dawn of a new radio era. Who am I to question the irresistible forces of progress? The clear air around the new transmitter site, the appearance of clotheslines again all along Mount Sio, the absence of the infamous BCN coal throat. But what happens in Blackout 95? Or Blackout 96? Oh yes, my friends, we know they will come. We know the poles carrying the power from Bay to Spare will someday crack like tinder under the force of the icy gales that regularly haunt our shores. We know that traffic and life will grind to a halt as snow and ice again fill our streets tit deep. Then we'll long for the days when a coal-fired transmitter told us that everything was going to be okay, that help was on the way, that a boiler had burst at McPherson Junior High, that Miss Kitty Cavanaugh was up and around and would be home once the road was cleared. Oh, yes, these things will come to pass. Hail, good stokers, and farewell. The Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland proudly beams the Great Eastern live from its studios on Duckworth Street in St. John's, Newfoundland, directly to your radio set, wherever you may be. And we love hearing from you, wherever that is. Get your pencils and paper now, and I'll give you a whole raft of addresses and things, your choice of how you can be in touch with us. Y'all set? Okay, here goes. Our mailing address is The Great Eastern, care of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or you can leave a message on our answering machine at area code 709-576-5389. If you're phoning from outside the St. John's calling area, we do not accept collect calls. You can also get at us through the CBC. They've lent us an email site for the summer. Our address there is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Great Eastern is all one word, and so is St. John's, with no punctuation, please. We've even got a fax machine. Its number is 709-576-5524. Now, that's a lot of ways for you to be in touch with us, so there's absolutely no excuse. Our engineer is Hollis Duffett, ably assisted this week by Tommy Codner. Director of radio at the BCN is Ish Lundrigan. My name is Paul Moth. Don't forget to come back next week for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Good morning. This is your weather watchdog, Erling Biggs. Before the traffic alert and weather, an announcement from the BCN. The Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland will power down the old transmitter on Mount Sio tomorrow, Sunday, the 16th of July, at 12:30 p.m., immediately following Interred with Morris Jesso. BCN will immediately begin transmitting from a new state...